Hands too full today. Sorry, guys, I don't know what it is about, you know, it's... What can I say? What can I say? Not too much. Well, there's always a first time. We are looking at the fruits of the Spirit, and if you was here when Ken comes on the second Sunday of each month, and he's teaching on the blood, and Julio will be going through Romans, and I'm looking at the fruits of the Spirit, and maybe we can go on to the gifts of the Spirit. I thought that was you today, Susan. No? Okay. I was going to say I'm confused, but I think that's what happens on a regular basis. Here we go with Galatians 5, verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit." And I want to start off with that. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. So we're looking at forbearance. And we're looking at what Scripture says and what we can learn through Scripture. And I find every time I look at Scripture, it's a challenge. Anyone else? You know, it's alive and it's active and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. I even have a cheerleader or a heckler, whichever way you want to look at it. Yeah. When we start looking at this word forbearance, to bear with, I'm just looking at my notes that I actually did write down here, and I can't read what I've written. So it's to do... Has anyone ever dealt with a difficult person? Well, you're going to need this gift of forbearance. Forbearance is it's a great learning curve, isn't it? It's to not easily get angered when we in a position where we could get angry, where actually it seems right to be angry. But forbearance asks us to keep away from anger. We refuse to let it rule us and reign over us. And it's not to be easily provoked. You know, sometimes in life we need to go into a circumstance and take a deep breath before we say anything, before we do anything, because we can easily be provoked, or some of us can easily be provoked. But when we start looking through Scripture, and when I started to delve in, I just want to read one or two things and bring one or two things out for us. Because we are to be those that can keep what God has given us percolating inside. Forbearance. "Therefore, you have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone..." This is not me. I haven't written this down. This is Scripture. And every time you read Scripture, you know, there's an answer to the question before it's even asked. And read what's happening beforehand. Read what's happening in the passage before this as well. And get the context. "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you pass judgment and you do the same things." What's being taught here? We've been spoken about hypocrisy. You know, have you ever been in a situation, don't answer, but have you been in a situation where someone says, ask you not to do something, but they're doing this very same thing? It's hypocrisy. It's two-faced. And that's what's being taught here. If we're going to look at something and we're going to pass a judgment, we need to be careful when we point the finger, because it's three pointing back at us. And it says, whatever point you pass judgment and you do the same things, God's judgment is against those who do such things, because it's based on the truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness and forbearance? In other words, his long suffering. That he could, that's what grace is. Grace, he could give us what we deserve, but he chooses not to. Forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead to repentance. So when the Lord is slow to anger, he towers, if you want to use that word. He's waiting, he's long suffering. It's in order to bring us to repentance. God is gracious with us, so therefore we ought to be gracious with those around us. Now I know that it's difficult at times, and I know that it's easy when we see somebody else doing something that winds us up the wrong way. But when we look through Scripture, it encourages us to look at ourselves first. Examine yourself. There's a great prophet, his name was Michael Jackson. He said, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. He's looking at himself first, and that's what we should do. We should examine ourselves, examine our hearts first. Take a breath, take a pause, make a decision. So it's about forbearance, it's about that gift, it's the fruit of the Spirit, it's something that we should desire, it's something that should cultivate within us as we're on this life's journey. And the older we get, it should be easier because we should have learned from our mistakes. However, in Romans 3:21 it says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. So we're talking about the body of believers. To all who believe, this righteousness has been given through faith. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So we need to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. When we're understanding this journey of forbearance, this journey of holding back what we believe is the right thing, and it may be the right thing but the wrong time. It may be saying the right thing but in the wrong attitude. It may be even there's an opportunity where we choose just to be silent. We choose to be silent. Why? Because it's a fruit, this forbearance. It's a fruit to bear with others. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, you and I alike. But all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. You see, God's long-suffering with us, God's forbearance towards humanity is evident if you choose to look. But when we look through Scripture, it shows us the two levels of those that are in Christ, those that are outside, those that are on a journey. And the reason that God doesn't punish the way that we think he should punish is because of his long-suffering, because of his forbearance, because he wants to leave the sins unpunished until the day of judgment. There is a day coming where we will all be judged. There is a coming of the Lord. There is a mercy seat that we can fall on. If we continue in Romans and we look at what it says here in Romans 3:21, have I just read that? Well, that'd be Colossians then. 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. And this is it's a small passage, but listen to what it says. Clothe yourselves with compassion. And that's something that, you know, I have a jacket, and if this is compassion, I can either leave it or I can put it on. We have a choice. But it's something that you can't give to someone else, because it's easy, I suggest. There's been times where we've said to someone, well, you ought to do this, and you ought to do that, and you shouldn't have said that, and you should say this, and you should act in this way. Well, we need to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bear with each other. And that word to bear with each other literally means to carry one another. So just imagine that. To carry one another and forgive one another. To carry them is one thing, to forgive them is another. You know, so often we can carry burdens, can't we? I remember Susan and I went to a Christian camp when we were first became Christians. We got sponsored to go for a week, and there was a young preacher there, and he preached this message about our chains, our sins being unshackled from our wrists. And he put it like this, and I've used it before, where our sins are like baggage chained to our arms, and we come to the cross, and Jesus comes and with his bolt croppers, and the Holy Spirit just frees us from the bondage of sin, and our sins fall to the ground because Jesus has carried those sins for us. He's bore them on the cross. But what we tend to do by not walking in forgiveness, by not walking in forbearance, is we pick them right up again and we carry on with life because they become friends. It's so easy so often to be unforgiving, I suggest. It's difficult to be forgiving. We need to bear with each other, forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And have you ever asked that question? Why should I forgive them? Well, because Christ forgave you and Christ forgave me. I'm not saying this is easy, but it's a fruit and it's something that we should cultivate. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. And just think about it. I heard someone else say this, and I'm going to steal it from now on. And it's like taking all these virtues, all these, the love and the peace and the joy, and putting them together like a bunch of flowers. And love is the ribbon that holds them all together. So you have all these separate gifts, all these separate circumstances, and they come together and they're tied with this bow, this red bow, which is the love of Jesus Christ. And that brings the unity. So if we put on love, love is patient, love is kind, love is slow to anger, it does not keep any record of wrongs, then I suggest it will help this journey of forbearance. And the next time you feel that you need to say something, take a breath. Take a breath. And maybe don't say it. Maybe don't do it. This is why the Bible says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive. It encourages us, doesn't it? It encourages us. It challenges us. And the reason why I want to bring this message, it can sound a little bit negative, but it's not, because it's a fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is there to encourage us, to feed us, to nurture us. In Ephesians 4, it says this, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? You know, we can sing the songs, we can even read the scripture, we can quote the scripture, we can sing the scripture, but to live the life worthy of the calling you have received, be completely humble, gentle, be patient. There's that word again, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. Now, I want to pause on that verse 7, because when I glance through this scripture, it kind of at first, it indicates that, well, God hasn't given me enough grace to deal with you, so I'm not going to. Some people are more gifted, aren't they? They've been given more grace to deal with those individuals. You know, Nigel's been given all that grace to deal with his in-laws and his outlaws. He's been given more grace than me. Or not, as the case may be. But that doesn't mean that. The grace that we've been given is the grace of salvation through nothing that we've done. But we've got this salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We all have that gift of grace. So we have no excuse not to love the Lord, not to keep in step with the Spirit, not to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So when we look through Scripture, it says there's the fruit of the Spirit, there's the gifts of the Spirit, there's the unity of the Spirit. And it says in the Scripture that we read before that Christ in us, and through us. So the Spirit of truth lives in us to help us to be more fruitful. And that's what I want us to look at today. To be more fruitful. To be those that are challenged, encouraged, and edified and built up so that we can build others up. The psalmist reminds us, it says, "Keep me safe, O God," in Psalm 16, verse 1. "For in you I take refuge," and that's what we should do. If we want to walk in any of these gifts, we should take refuge in the Lord. "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." There's nothing good in me, but God has lavished upon me this grace. This grace to be able to accept that Jesus is who he says he is. This grace that he's lavished on me and you, that we can walk forward in that forbearance. We can bear one another's pain. We can lift each other up. Have you ever drawn alongside somebody that's devastated about something? They're just in a heap. And you come along because Christ is in you. And you pick them up and you hug them and you serve them. What you're doing is you're carrying them. You're saying, "Listen, you don't have the faith for this, but I do. I'm going to walk with you." That's to bear with one another. And that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, should I say. That's something that we should all be challenged with as we go on our journey. Do you know what? Some people may deserve it, but it doesn't mean we have to give it to them. The hostility, I mean. They may deserve us telling them exactly what we think, but we don't have to. And maybe we should bear with them a little bit longer and pray for them that they would bear fruit, much fruit. So the psalmist reminds us of our frailty. And when we look through Scripture, and all of you hopefully have read through Job at one point and another, and you think, this is a book that doesn't encourage me, Lord, when I see the stuff that goes on and the things you allowed to happen to this man, your servant. And we look through it and we look through it, and there's so much in there, and we can miss so much if we don't look very closely. I just want to read this one portion as it comes to near the end of the story of Job, where he lost everything. He was so downtrodden, so outcast, that he lost his family. He lost his livelihood. His wife turned her back on him. "Curse God," she says. He broke out in boils and he would scrape himself just to get rid of some of the horrible things that was on his skin. His friends, so-called friends, would come and say to him, "Surely this is happening to you because you're in error, because you're in sin." And yet it says Job did not sin. He did not hold this against God. He was long-suffering. And this portion says this in 10 of Job 42. After Job had prayed for his friends. Now, that's something that we can all do. It's easy sometimes to pray for our friends, but difficult to pray for our enemies. And as we pray for our friends and we pray for our enemies, we heard it in home group, it's like heaping burning coals on their head. It brings the righteousness of God right to the front of their lives. It brings the blessing of God right in front of these individuals so that they cannot fail but to see the goodness of God, the forbearance of God. "The Lord restored his former fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house." Now, just picture it, and this is why the story of forbearance is so important. Just picture it. All these people that came to sit to eat with this man had all rejected him. Had all rejected him. And in the natural, you could understand if Job said, "Listen, when I had plenty, you was my friends. When I lost everything, you deserted me. Now I've been given back all of the riches. You now want to know me?" But he had forbearance. He could bear this. He could lift up his friends. He could pray for his friends. And he could see the fruit of the Spirit come into his life. All his brothers and sisters, they came. It says they ate with him in the house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him. And each one gave a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former. And you can go into what he did. The Lord gave back a double portion. And when we look in Isaiah, it talks about being a double portion people. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. God wants us to receive a double portion of his grace, so we can be doubly gracious. He wants us to bear with one another, not just Christians, but those on the outside of God's goodness. He wants us to bear with people. Why? Because it's a fruit. It's a fruit that we should nurture. It's a fruit that we should eat. It's a fruit that we should live. But I'm not saying it's necessarily easy. In Genesis, you'll know this story too about Joseph. And just imagine, you have to, in order just to get this little piece of scripture here into context, you need to know the journey of Joseph. You need to know that this young boy had a dream, and he was full of enthusiasm, and he shared what the Lord had said to him with his brothers and his father and his mother. And what happened was, they just wanted to get rid of him, to shut him up, to silence him. And he got put in a pit. He got from the pit, he ended up in the palace. And we get to this portion of scripture where his brothers sold him into slavery, into Potiphar's house, for years and years in servitude, until Joseph said to them, these are his brothers, "Don't be afraid. I'm in a place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." So I suggest that Joseph on this journey had matured. I'm sure he wasn't happy. Scripture doesn't tell us. I'm sure he wasn't happy being sold by his brothers, being deserted by his brothers. The very people that should have loved him were the very people that tried to bury him. I'm sure he had to journey with God. But just as David kept close to the Lord, so Joseph kept close to God. Because I know that because Scripture says that he had favor. He had favor in every circumstance, and that favor came from the Lord. Because as he journeyed, he matured. As he matured, he encouraged, and he got to a position where he had every right to have his brothers executed, but he chose not to. He chose to lift them up, to carry them, because they were so heavy with shame and guilt. He bore their iniquities, just as Jesus bore yours. Joseph didn't have to die on a cross, but he had to crucify the flesh in order to live out the Spirit. Does that make sense? And that's what we have to do sometimes. We have to crucify the flesh so that we can live in the Spirit. And as we look through God's Word, it's such an encouragement. And if we look in Matthew 16:21, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times do I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? At least 7. I think that's pretty good, don't you? 7 times, let's face it. And that's having forbearance, isn't it? That's long suffering. Okay, I forgive you. And then Jesus answers and says, no, it's never ending. It's never ending. I suggest the only way we can operate in this act of forgiveness is by walking in step with the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to cultivate in us and through us. My final scripture is in Luke 18:15. It simply says this, but the seed on the good soil, this is the parable of the sower and the seeds. The sower sows the word of God. The word of God are the seeds. And some fell on rocky ground, it says. It didn't bear much fruit. We're shallow. And sometimes in our Christian walk, we can come up against people that are very shallow. And that's not me saying this. That's the Lord Jesus himself saying, sometimes when my word is sown, it does not take root. And so when we look at this being long-suffering and having forbearance and even being on your journey of faith over the years and not holding it against God like Job didn't, but saying, Lord, if this is what you've called me to, I'm going to walk through it. If this is my life, then I know you'll never leave me or forsake me. So when we look at this parable of the sower, we know that there are seed that falls on good soil. And you have good soil. If you allow that seed to be cultivated, it will produce a harvest 100, 30, 60 times what was sown. If we learn to forgive, if we learn to bear each other's pain, each other's sorrow, you know, compassion. One of our scriptures talked about compassion. And compassion simply, if you dig into it, means I feel what you feel. Now, I know that I've shared this before and it may help one or two people, but there was a time in my life where I prayed a prayer and I said, Lord, show me your heart. Foolish prayer. And I'd come to church and I'd just cry at anything. I'd watch a Lassie film and be in tears. I was a blubbering wreck. But I knew that God was doing something in me because there was no earthly reason for me to be in such a state. Yet God was softening my heart. He was allowing that seed to germinate. Every time something was spoken about with the word of God, it would go into my life and it would produce something. And I suggest that we can't work, we can't walk, we can't deal with humanity unless we allow the fruit of the Spirit to be cultivated in our lives. So we have a choice. If you take this parable, it says here, it says, with a noble and good heart, who hears the word, retain it, and by persevering produces a crop. So we have to persevere when it comes to the word of God. We have to persevere when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. They're not just things that we just can take for granted. We need to cultivate them. We need to allow them to work. We need to allow them to take root in our lives. When we take this passage of the parable of the sower, we want the word of God to be rooted in our lives, yes? When it's rooted in our lives, when drought comes, the plant will still survive. Why? Because the roots go down deep. It's only when a root is shallow on the surface, when it dries out, it dies quickly because the root does not go down deep enough. But for us as Christians, as we cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, the love, the joy, the peace, the forbearance, as we bear with one another, as we bear with what is happening around us, as we choose not to confront those that we feel uncomfortable around, as we choose not to give that word to that person that deserves it, as we choose to just keep silent, to take a breath before we speak, that's forbearance. That's fruit. Let's cultivate it. Father, we thank you that your word is medicine. Your word is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, we thank you that we are in the world, not of the world. Lord, it's easy to hear someone preach about something, but it's harder to live it. And we know that, Lord. We live in the reality of who we are. But we are yours. We have been given grace, Father God, to deal with life's storms. We've been given grace, Lord Father God, that gift of bearing with one another. May we cultivate it and see it become more evident in our lives. We ask this in your name, Jesus. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.